And I want to welcome you to the podcast for this week. On the I Want to Know More podcast this week, we're going back to 2 Samuel chapter number 20. We are complete and done with the situation with the revolt of Absalom, the ascendancy and treachery of Amasa, and the revolt, very short-lived, of Bichri, and the communication allowed Sheba, the son of Bichri, to be given to Joab and his head thrown over the wall there at Abel. The Lord's not given me liberty to do a whole lot of study into spiritual aspects of that. Maybe another time it'll be the right time to go into some other details of that, but today's not the time. We're moving on. We're going to finish the 20th chapter today and get started with the 21st chapter. And there are some really important things to be found here. So, 2 Samuel chapter number 20, verse number 23. Now Joab was over all the host of Israel, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada was over the Kerethites and over the Pelethites, and Adoram was over the tribute, and Jehoshaphat the son of Ahilud was recorder. And Sheva was scribe, and Zadok and Abiathar were the priests, and Ira also the Jerite was a chief ruler about David. What's interesting is Hushai was not listed here as David's friend. I find that interesting. I don't know if something happened to him or what went on. He's not mentioned again. So I don't know what happened. Maybe something happened to him. But anyway, we're given the list of the officers about David at this point. And, of course, Joab's chief over the host. But I want to look real quickly at these other statements here, that Adoram was over the tribute, the treasurer, in other words, and Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder being clerk or secretary, and Sheva was scribe being the one who took the chronicles and listed, and so maybe that's to the clerk, and the other guy is the secretary. He's the recorder. He's over the financial recording of it, but not over the tribute, tax collector. Maybe that's the way we ought to look at it. Adoram's a tax collector. Jehoshaphat is register of deeds. And Sheva was the secretary and the clerk. And Zadok and Abiathar were the priests. And Ira also, the Jerite, was a chief ruler about David. David had a few trusted people. Chief of staff maybe is what Ira was. Ira may very well have been chief of staff, which is a very powerful position in any administration, whether it be the president of the United States or a prime minister of a foreign country or wherever it might be. That chief of staff position is very powerful because you're a gatekeeper. You can keep people from seeing the king. And that has to be an extremely trustworthy person in that position. They have a great responsibility to filter out people that might want to get to the king that really and truly don't need to get to the king. And that's, to me, that's a very interesting position. And it's these little clerical things in the books of Samuel, the Kings, and Chronicles that sort of thing really interests me. These people are mentioned for a reason. Do you think God wasted words in the Bible? In His Word? Are there any wasted words? Think about that for a minute. Does God waste words? No. He wants us to study them. The genealogies of 1 Chronicles are important. And God has some things to show us in the collection of those genealogies that you need to know where you came from. You need to understand those things. And then you need to have people who are responsible for things. A good manager in a business will assign people to tasks and not just say, okay, somebody do this. and expect it to get done because nobody knows who's supposed to be the one to do it. You know, sometimes managers simply have to give direction and say, okay, you're responsible for this and you're his backup or her backup. And if it doesn't get done, then both of you will be called on the carpet and called to task. You know, there are organizational necessities. David cannot, he cannot oversee every aspect of it. And so he has somebody as tax collector. He has somebody as register of deeds. He has somebody to record the chronicles and record what's going on in the kingdom. And then he has somebody that just simply keeps the riffraff from getting to him and taking up his time. Now, I know that sounds cruel and that sounds really, really bad. And as a pastor, I'm thankful that with a small congregation, I can spend time with everybody. But not every congregation's that way. And as David gets older, and David's health is failing, by the way, at this point. David is having some issues. We're going to see a few of those in the next chapter. We're going to see some things. There's some things happens. And we're going to hopefully have an extended study on a few of these topics that we find in these last few chapters of 2 Samuel. There's some really interesting things going on here. And this last piece of the 20th chapter introduces this chronicle format. This is a format in terms of chronicles. And chronicles aren't not necessarily in chronological order. Even though chronicles, the life and times, and chronology, I said that out that way intentionally, so you'd hear the common term, chron, C-H-R-O-N. We actually get that term chronology or chronometer or chronicle from the Greek god Kronos, the god of time. And so chronicles is the life and times. You know, when I was a kid, there was a TV show on called The Life and Times of Grizzly Adams. And he was played by Dan Haggerty, I believe was the actor's name that played role on TV. And so The Life and Times of the Kings of Judah, the Chronicles, they're not necessarily in what we would consider chronological order. They are in an order that is designed to tell a story. And so they need to be studied that way. And the last few chapters here of 2 Samuel are written in that style. The majority of the books of the Kings, 1 and 2 Kings, are also written in the chronologer style, or the chronicler's style. And of course, well, we have the books of Chronicles. And in the Hebrew Bible, those are the last, that's the last book of their Bible, is Chronicles. And that ends up with the section that they call the Writings. So, because Samuel, the books of Samuel and Kings are considered part of the prophets, Samuel being the first of the post-priesthood prophets. That's not easy to say. The rule of the priesthood and the rule of the prophets, the role of the priests, the priests were the ones who got in touch with God, but they fade in importance. Now, that brings up another point about what the scripture we just read. Notice that Zadok and Abiathar are listed together. They're the priests. Which one's high priest? Do they even have that office in the way it was originally envisioned? That's an interesting thing. And you know, in the New Testament, we find something very similar. Ananias, we find, was high priest that year, the year that Christ was crucified. Paul even, he knew Ananias, knew him personally, but he, at that council that we find in the book of Acts, where he's standing before the council. Ananias commands him to be smitten on the mouth, and Paul makes a statement against him. Said, commandest thou to me to be smitten against the law, thou whited wall? Or words to that effect. And then somebody said, revilest thou God's high priest? What's Paul say? He says, I wist not, brethren, that he was high priest. Because Ananias and one of his relatives passed that job back and forth between each other year after year. And even though Paul knew this man personally, he didn't realize he was high priest that year. And that's not the way God originally intended it to be. The high priest was to serve from the time of that high priest's ordination into that office until that high priest died or passed it on to the next. But in David's day, there were two, Zadok and Abiathar, and they were not of the same branch of the family of Aaron. Abiathar was of the branch of Eli, and that branch was going to fade out eventually. But Zadok lives on. And in fact, Zadok is the founder of the political party, the sect of Judaism, known as the Sadducees. Zadok, Sadducees. Hebrew Z gets translated to the Greek S. And instead of a U, instead of an OK, we get a UC. And Sadducee, they're followers of Zadok, is what they are. They follow the teachings of Zadok. And Zadok was going to be the one that the priestly line was going to come from after the line that had gone through Eli is no longer there. And so there's a lot of interesting intrigue here. And the style of the chronicler makes it pretty clear what's going on here. But we got to look at it. We got to read into it. Many times we consider these to be boring sections. Let's get to the action. Let's get to the exciting things. Let me tell you something. The things that go on behind the scenes sometimes are the exciting things. You know, I believe that every pastor, regardless of congregation size, needs an IRA. Needs an IRA, the Jairite, a chief ruler, somebody who can run interference for that pastor if there is a need for it. Now, I know that sounds horrible. It sounds horrible, but sometimes you need a guard dog, preacher. Preachers, you need a guard dog, and that guard dog needs to be somebody you can absolutely trust. And needs to be somebody that is absolutely respected by everybody in the congregation and will help you and has your back. You need somebody like that, preachers. Because otherwise, there can be people come in, and those people can come in and start taking more and more of your time and create problems with that. And so have yourself an IRA, the Jairite, in your congregation, pastors. And I'm thankful the person that I'm thinking of in my heart right now doesn't even know that they're in that position for me. But they are. And I'm not going to tell them who they are. But they do the job. They do it really well. And I appreciate that person greatly in my congregation. All right, let's go on into the 21st chapter. The scene changes. The whole feel of the book changes here in chapter 21. And it started here at the very end of chapter 20. This ends a chapter of David's life. And now we get a series of little vignettes, little scenes from the life of David. Verse number 1, chapter 21. Then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord. All right, here's something that is very important. Famines occur, droughts happen, And they're quite common in Israel of the at the time of David. But 3 years, that's beginning to become a problem. They were, because of the year of Jubilees and because of sabbatic years, they, of course, they weren't keeping the Sabbath years, but they should have been keeping the Sabbath years. They should have been prepared to have at least 2 years of food stored back. And they had ways of doing that. They had methods by which they could preserve their food for that length of time. You know, there's methods even today. Pressure canning is probably one of the greatest inventions that there is, even more so than refrigeration. Mechanical refrigeration is a great invention. But canning, especially in the metal cans or in the glass jars, canning is the invention that makes food preservation a really, really effective, I should say. Canned meats like Spam and Treat can be kept for years. Canning in plastic pouches, such as meals ready to eat, MREs. That is a form of canning, and it's a form of food preservation. Food preservation is a very important thing to understand. And, you know, it's, I never did learn how to do it, but my mama knew very well how to do food preservation and canning, and then you know, a lot of people do it, and there's a lot of knowledge out there on how to can food safely. To where you don't get botulism. That's the biggest danger with canning, is botulism. So if the process isn't complete and isn't fully successful, you can get botulism, which is a very dangerous disease. People have died from botulism. It's a paralytic disease. It paralyzes your muscles. But food preservation through canning and through other methods, drying of food, making of, you know, like beef jerky and other forms of dried food, dried fruit, nuts and grains. Nuts and grains will keep for a long time, especially in a dry climate where mold can't get in, as long as you keep vermin out of it. And screen wire and that sort of thing is about the best way of doing that. And so there's ways of preserving foods for that length of time. But by the time 3 years is going on, people are in a rough shape. People are starting to murmur. People are starting to complain. And it gets to David's ears. And David is seeing this himself. There's a famine. And 3 years. You know, that's 3.5 years is the famine that occurred under Elijah at the time of Ahab. It's severe. Famine is a severe punishment. And that famine meant that something had happened that had displeased the Lord. So David does the best possible thing. He inquires of the Lord. Now, how did that work? How did David inquire of the Lord? Now, we Christians are spoiled. We have the Holy Ghost of God. We have the ability to go before the throne of grace personally and get an answer from the Holy Ghost right then. David, on the other hand, did not have such a luxury. And I call it a luxury. I realize it's also a necessity, but oftentimes we just simply take it for granted as Christians that we can just go pray whenever we feel like it, and we can talk directly to the Lord. David did not have that luxury. He inquired of the Lord. And I didn't finish the verse. And the Lord answered, "It is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites." Oh boy. This is odd, to say the least. He inquires of the Lord. That means he goes to the priests, Zadok and Abiathar. One of them is acting as high priest. And he goes before the Lord. He gives the appropriate sacrifice, the bullock, And the other items that needed to be sacrificed whenever a ruler inquired before the Lord for a national emergency like this. This was a serious thing. Consider how serious this was. There was a whole ritual that had to be performed. And there was a whole thing, and he prepared for it ahead of time. It wasn't just something he fell on his knees and asked of the Lord. Oh, no, no, no. This was a national thing. This would have been covered by the 6 o'clock news back in that day if they'd had such a thing as the 6 o'clock news. This would have been the national newscast, so maybe the 6:30 news or whatever time the national news comes on. I've not watched over the air television in so long, I've forgotten how to do it. If I want news, I go on the internet, I get the news I want, and I'm done whenever I want it. I'm kind of spoiled to that. Back in the day, you had to wait for the national news to come on at 6:30. And, you know, Tom Brokaw or John Rockefeller or whoever else was involved, David Jennings, Diane Sawyer, so many others were involved in the national news scene. But the national news would have picked this up. And they would have put on the national news, King David calls for the high priest to inquire of the Lord of the national famine that's been here for the last 3 years. Consider how big a news story this would have been back in that day had they had the technology we have today. It definitely lit up the grapevine. You know what I'm talking about. The gossip network of the grapevine where people talk. Let me tell you something. Word of mouth can move very quickly when it needs to. Things can spread like wildfire. And it spread. There's going to be a ritual. They're going to inquire of the Lord. And it was a ritual. There had to be a certain sacrifice. There had to be certain things, and we're going to look into that next week as the Lord leads. We're going to look into what was involved in David inquiring of the Lord. If the king was going to inquire of the Lord, what's required? What did David go through to get an answer from the Lord? And the Lord answers. We read it, but we're not going to get into it right now. We'll get to it next week as the Lord leads. It's very interesting to see what the answer is and what the requirement is. But I want to go into the ritual. I want us to study the ritual that was required for David to inquire of the Lord as king. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast for this week. I Want to Know More is a podcast ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please email broadcast@lamarowen.net. Again, that's broadcast@lamarowen.net. And join us here again next week for I Want to Know More.